Move into item number seven, Director's Report. So, Director Storr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning, Commissioners. This last month has been exceptionally busy, and I just wanted to take a second to recognize all the hard work and effort that our staff in the regions and staff here at headquarters have done, the quality of work they're delivering, and just everything we're taking on. It's pretty incredible, so I'm really proud of all that. I'm going to ask Ron. I got a number of things to cover. I'll try to move through those, and then I'm going to ask Ron to come up and help me with North of Falcon, 5-10 minutes on North of Falcon, because that was a part of the effort this last month, big part. Let's see. In the middle of March, a number of us attended the Billy Frank Salmon Summit. This was held up in Tulalip, sponsored by the Puget Sound Tribes. I want to thank Commissioner Baker for being there. And we had great representation with leadership from the agency. This was the first summit, and it's really around a recognition that perhaps we're entering into a kind of an emergency state in terms of salmon recovery. A lot of anxiety in the room, a lot of a sense of we've got to do something different, and now it was pretty neat to hear Billy himself. They had some older videos of Billy speaking, and actually had put together a promotional cartoon with Billy's voice dubbed in around salmon recovery that you should be able to see pretty soon. But it was a sense of we got to do something around habitat. We have to do something around hatchery production. We got to keep going, but you know, there's a big emergency on our hands that needs to be dealt with. And so an attempt to try to up the gain on those efforts. Big part of what we're trying to sort through on the salmon side has to do with the Pacific Salmon Treaty. And our commissioner, ex-director Phil Anderson, briefed the commission on a conference call. I won't go into details much more than that. But we didn't reach agreement between Alaska, the Canadians, and the southern U.S., Washington and Oregon, on the Chinook Annex. We've got some agreement on other salmon species, but we didn't make it there on Chinook. Remember that our Chinook populations from Alaska to California are in a lot of trouble. We dealt with that in North of Falcon for this coming year. We're going to continue that discussion, although time is running very short, especially for Canada. On Monday, this next Monday through Friday, we'll be meeting up in Vancouver, B.C., and trying for the first 2 days to get ourselves together with Alaska so we have a unified state position that we can then present to the Canadians. And if we don't make it this week, there is a set-aside at the end of the month, the 30th, for another try. But as I said, we're running out of time. So more to come on that. And if you want to know the details, again, there's a pretty good write-up in the director's report. Spent quite a bit of time reaching out to legislators. I took a road trip and went over and met with Senator Short in Chihuahua. We talked a lot about wolves, some about the Columbia River, just a great discussion. I made an attempt to connect with Representative Kretz at his home. He lives up in Wakanda, and beautiful country. If you've never been there, you should go. Had an address. His legislative aide was out of town, and evidently the representative lives up a 3-mile gravel road that takes off from the main road, which isn't all that main. So ended up talking to the representative by phone and didn't get to his ranch, which I'm sorry I didn't do. And then met with Representative Mary Dye. She's an Assotin rancher. She and her husband manage a 3,000-acre sheep ranch. and pretty fascinating, interesting. I learned a lot in terms of land management practices, ranching, et cetera, in that part of the country. She was very interested and wanted to engage around the Odom 4O grazing lease, as well as Cloverland and the elk conflict issues we've had there. We've taken kudos to the wildlife program. We've taken a number of steps in Cloverland to try and help with that situation, and she was very positive about that. Concerned about the grazing lease on the 4O, and that the extent of time that was allowed for grazing may not be the best in terms of land management, grass management, et cetera. So we'll keep working with the representative on that. She also had a lot of interest in Snake River, Columbia River fisheries, and several questions there. And then just day before yesterday, I think it was, we met with Representative Blake and had a fairly wide-ranging discussions. Representative Blake is from, as you all know, Southwest Washington, but has engagement across the state and has been a longtime supporter of the agency on a number of issues. And so we had a good discussion there. But trying to do more of that, just as we can catch people in their district or here in Olympia, reach out and just see what's on their mind. North of Falcon 2 took place up in Linwood. A couple of good days there where we made some progress with the tribes. A new dynamic, I think, that we saw there, and then again at the PFMC here last week, in that the recreational commercial fishers are right there with us, working with the tribes, working with the agency, again, kind of unifying around the situation we have with some of our fisheries. And it felt really healthy in terms of relationships and efficiencies and getting things done and looking out for each other's interests. And again, that kind of rolled out as we worked our way to the PFMC, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. Got a couple of, we're also doing staff meetings. Had a good meeting in Region 5, Ridgefield, with staff talking about how we can help them in the field. They're also going through a transition. I think most of you know that John Long, our regional director in Ridgefield, is resigning at the end of the month to pursue some other interests he has around mediation and some work that he's been doing outside of agency work for a number of years. And so we're excited for John and new part of his career. We're also seeing a transition with our chief budget officer, Owen Rowe, who has just been a real force for us in managing the budget over the last 5-6 years. Owen came from the legislature and brought a lot of expertise and relationships from that effort. And as I said, has helped us out immensely. He's taking a position as the a lead legislative person for the Parks Department. So we'll still have, work to do with him, associations with him. We got a partner there, along with the other partners we have at Parks. So we're happy for Owen and his new career opportunities. Let me touch a couple more things. Reminder, WAFWA summer meeting, for all of you that might be interested, is in Eugene, Oregon. So it's close by, pretty easy to access. It's around the middle of July. I'm planning on being there, I think, July 12th through the 17th. I think it starts a day earlier than that and maybe goes a day or two longer than that. But around those dates, there are some sessions early on for commissioners and directors to get together with your counterparts across the western states. And a number of interesting things on the agenda there. So if you're interested in that, let us know. I think there's an early June deadline for signing up. The Diversity Committee, we continue to push a variety of initiatives there. The latest is we will have our senior managers all in one place on April 20th here in Olympia. So that includes sort of section-level regional program managers on up, about 70 or 80 people. And we're going to do 6 hours of some diversity training and diversity exercises and brainstorming there about how to improve. So, you know, we have our kind of grassroots staff group, our advisory committee, and Amy reported on their last meeting at our last in March. We're also working the leadership side of this in the agency in terms of making people aware of what needs to happen for inclusiveness, for equity issues, for the diversity parts of the agency. So trying to keep a strong priority there. Great news, Skagit catch and release. You got a note from Jim Scott. This is something that we have been working on for a number of years. You recall the Occupy Skagit group that's been here with signs and energy before. We just heard from NOAA that they are approving our November 2016 management plan submittal. So I will call Barry Tom, the regional administrator, and thank him for those efforts. This is great news. It's a little late. You know, next year we'll get it started a little earlier. But we have a Saturday tomorrow opening for Steelhead on the schedule, catch and release. And that's estimated, once we get this rolling, that's estimated to bring in about $1 million a year to those local small communities. So a huge deal in terms of opportunity, in terms of participation and economics. So real happy to have that in place. And thanks to the FISH staff that worked on that for a number of years to make that happen. A couple short things, and then I'll ask Ron to come up and talk a little bit about North of Falcon. In your director's report, I want to point out a couple of items. The Bonneville Dam sea line management, pinniped management is getting attention all across the waters of the state, not just the Columbia River. But on the Columbia River, we did have a big event with Congresswoman Herrera Butler touring the Bonneville Dam, highlighting the growing presence of Californian stellar seals. Nate, Steve Jeffries, Megan West were there on behalf of the agency. The tour's primary theme was our inability to manage these sea lions in problem areas, and that inability is undermining the efforts and millions of dollars invested in harvest and hatchery reform. So a lot of energy there, a lot of people talking about what needs to happen with the Marine Mammal Protection Act and what can we do to deal with these increasing predations. I want to point out, too, the Priest Rapid Dam situation. We do have Regional Director Jim Brown in the audience if you have any specific questions. But at the end of March, March 28th, we were contacted by Grant County PUD about some routine inspection work they were doing on the dam, actually going in and drilling and looking in places they don't normally look. And they found water flowing under pressure within a void that they shouldn't have found. And so they ended up lowering the dam about 3 feet for 2 weeks to carry out further inspections. Don't expect that lowering would impact fish passage in any way. But, you know, after the Wanapum issue a couple of years ago, grabs your attention pretty fast. And I haven't heard of any major findings or any major concerns as a result. But again, if you have questions, Jim's here. He can give you specifics. And then the last thing, I don't know if you've done this, but we racked up in a couple of paragraphs all the wolf-related legislative updates and the funding that came with it. And it's a fairly impressive lists, and the legislature is investing in wolf management, which is a good thing. We received one-time funding of $183,000 for the EIS on translocation. This was Representative Kretz's bill. We received one-time funding, about $100,000 of general fund, for implementation of non-lethal deterrence measures in 2019. Department of Agriculture received $80,000 to work with the Sheriff's Departments of Ferry and Stevens County on wolf management activities. And this is something that Senator Short and I talked about, too. I'd really love to partner with Ag and the Sheriff's Office on how we can better coordinate and build trust, frankly, with the sheriffs around wolf issues in the northeast part of the state. And then finally, there was $172,000 of general fund that went to the University of Washington, go Dogs, to conduct a three-year study of wolf use and density in the South Cascades, as well as looking at impacts of wolf recolonization on the predator-prey dynamics.
Thank you for pointing out that the funding for wolf, Director Storr. I, too, am really interested in the funding to USDA and how we start partnering on that and maybe even transitioning. NRCS, you know, is such a well-respected partner in the rural communities and really know how to work with the ranchers, and it just seems like a great transition to be making. So I hope that goes well in the future.
Thank you, Commissioner. So let's see. With that, I think I'll transition into the North of Falcon piece here and ask Ron to come up with his team. There he is. How'd you get there so fast? So this last week, from last Wednesday through this past Wednesday, a number of us were down in Portland. I want to say thanks to Commissioners Carpenter, Graybill, Kehoe for being there. It makes a difference having you there, even though it's probably pretty boring sometimes and you're 2 hours of waiting for 15 minutes of activity or half an hour of activity, but it makes a big difference, and people noticed. And, you know, we haven't always had the smoothest relationships. Again, a lot of this is about relationships between the agency and tribes or between the commission and tribes. But it was just a great atmosphere there. I think we all made improvements in terms of coming together. I mentioned the Linwood plenary session where the fishers, commercial and rec, really made an effort to work and be cooperative. And, you know, they're just a great bunch of people that were down there helping with a very tough setting. And I got to say thanks to Ron and to Kurt and Kyle and Mark, and we had a group of about, I don't know, 15, 20 people down there, and we got a good team. I mean, you should see these folks sometimes and how hard they work and the quality of work they produce. Just really makes you proud. We had a dinner with the tribe on the night, two nights before we were over, a pizza dinner, but people were, and despite the difficulties of coming together on seasons and the reduction that people are going to experience, folks were congratulating each other, supporting each other, and that's never happened, as far as I know, at least in the near future, near past. So it was just in some ways, sobering and difficult, I think impacts to our fishers and to the tribal fishers are serious. In other ways, it felt very good in terms of building a foundation to kind of take on this huge challenge that we've got in front of us. So I'll turn it over to Ron to to embellish and add.
Commissioners, Director Storr, Deputy Director Windrup, nice to see you up there, Amy. Ron Warren with the Fish Program. I'll just step back to the plenary session that the director was speaking about. That plenary session, the last one that we had was back in 2008 or 9. I wasn't involved in North Falcon those 2 years. I was in hatcheries at the time. And so it was my first experience. I'd heard a lot from ongoing and historical staff perspectives about plenary sessions and how difficult they can be. And it was quite the contrary. Maybe magical is a little too strong, but the commonality that the recreational, commercial, and tribal fishers had in that room about, we can get together every year and talk about how we split up the few fish we have, or we can talk about how we're going to change habitat for recovery purposes, carried us through the entire remainder of the North Falcon process. And it was very dynamic, very bonding. And I was really proud to be part of that and have my team be part of that. So jumping into a bit more of North of Falcon, we concluded earlier this week setting seasons for the ocean, Columbia River and its upstream tributaries, Willapa Bay, Grace Harbor, and Puget Sound. All of those but the ocean are directed by you with guidance on how we do that. I feel very, very comfortable to report that we've met the guidance that we received from you in all of those instances, and report that I think we have some tremendous opportunities in front of us. That doesn't go without some reductions in fisheries, but I think we have some tremendous opportunities. I'd like to just take a couple of minutes and focus on some Puget Sound issues, and this is just a reminder of where the marine areas are. The only thing I could find early this morning to put, but just I'm going to be talking about this Marine Area 5, 6, 7, 8, 1, 8, 2, and down through the Deep South Sound to 13, and then Hood Canal in Area 12. So I just wanted to quickly show, we had a lot of controversy going into the season. We submitted our Puget Sound Chinook Harvest Management Plan to NOAA back in December of 2017. And as the public read that, quite frankly, the sky was falling and falling fast on their ability to have predictable seasons. And I can tell you that across the board, from the ocean in, we now have hundreds of thousands of anglers being able to predictably plan their fisheries for 2018-19 seasons. And this is just to demonstrate kind of the change and shift of what happens amongst the fishery during the planning process while we meet those management objectives that co-managers set and that NOAA reports on and then writes their biological opinion to support the fisheries that we have put in place. And you have these packets in front of you, and I've printed them out in a way that I hope in a second you'll see that it's a benefit to compare things. This is just a look at what we had in the summer months and winter months. Those are the two fishery segments that we have in Puget Sound. For each of the marine areas, for the main stocks, Chinook and Coho, for the recreational fisheries that we go and try to implement. And quite frankly, the green is additional time in those areas and those species, and the red is a reduction. And then at the bottom, I'll just draw your attention to, well, before I go to the bottom, you can see the one asterisk in Marine Area 8.2 was a shore-based fishery. It was very small. It says 1.5 months. I counted that as a complete marine area as I make these totals, as I did with the two-month and the 1 month of that in Marine Area 9 as a shore-based only fishery. Those were from reductions that we'd had to take because of abundances in the previous year. And so when I totaled those, I didn't try to make any judgments on shore base. I just counted that as the total marine area as being opened. And you can see that we have 9 more fishing months in the marine areas in Puget Sound in the summer months and 2.5 in the winter months. I'm extremely proud of that. My team, not my team, the team, did a fantastic job in modeling, planning, discussing with other technical staff, and really did a stellar job in pulling us through this process. So another comparative look of how we did in the fishery, if you look at your next page, it's just, this is the look of, and I'd like to thank our public affairs staff who converted our black and white version of this that we used to hand out at North Falcon with constituents and the tribes to a color format and being able to put this online. If you take that and just slide it forward and not turn it over, you'll be able to compare it to this year's fishery. And it's just another look at how we tried to describe the mosaic of different fisheries and different areas across Puget Sound so people can track their favorite fishery and see the whole package of fisheries that we're trying to put in place. So, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail there. If I were to try to describe the fishery situation, we had a lot of issues that came up, and I'll go back and just reflect on where we've been just for a moment. In 2015, we had a drought year. The warm blob was off the Washington coast, and we had a pretty severe depletion of coho in Puget Sound. That depletion reduced time on the water and the economics back to the state of Washington fairly severely. Prior to 2005, as a result of that, we made some very, very difficult decisions about where we were going to remain open and what we were going to do so that we didn't have a listing of coho because of that rapid depletion. And we took some pretty conservative steps in protecting coho, their reds, and the juveniles that stay in fresh water for a year to a year and a half by closing game water areas, by closing coho time so that people weren't in the river and walking on reds. It was not a popular time. I believe that those decisions are showing some fruitful end. I keep my fingers crossed that Mother Nature believes that should be the case as well. But to give you an idea of what that 2015 year really looks like for the state of Washington, prior to that, our average angler trips in Puget Sound was 480,000 angler trips per year. And in 2016, our marine angler trips was predicted to be 252,000, just in the marine areas. Our freshwater areas were another 213,000 for about 266,000 angler trips all over in the Puget Sound area. So you fast forward, you skip 2017, excuse me, because I'm trying to compare. I used 2016 as a non-pink year to a non-pink year. This year will be a prediction of 378,000, almost 379,000, compared to the 252,000 from 16. And in freshwater fisheries, 377,000 compared to the 213,000 in 17, for a total of 757,000 angler trips throughout the Puget Sound. To me, trying to bring it back from an environmental loss of fish and productivity to work hard to have the relationships that the director talked about with co-managers, to have the relationships with our constituents, because they help us. They know that water. They know those fisheries. We have to rely on them to help inform us about where their importance is. Comparatively, I just wanted to share a pink year situation. 2017 was 419,000 marine trips, 1.1 million freshwater trips, for a total of 1.5 million marine angler trips. So the year in between the, not for the pink year, you can see how pinks influence the state of Washington, our fishing. We're hoping that the decline that we saw in 2017 doesn't persist to 2019, but we also know how cyclic that can be. So in addition this year to the great successes, we did that, and we're proud to announce that we think that we have the right steps for the first year for southern resident killer whale protection, in addition to the fishery package that we have. I'd like to thank Penny Becker as our policy lead for the agency. She was instrumental in keeping my head focused on killer whales as we talked, as well as the rest of our team. Kurt Hughes and her met more times than I can count to try to discuss and figure out what action should be taken, and very proud of the results of that. Penny was able to bring NOAA down on the second to last day to have a conversation that really outlined our measures and how we will describe them for NOAA analysis in their biological opinion. And I think that that will be add to the successes of the year. As Joe talked about, North of Falcon's over and we have a great team. But as we come back from North of Falcon, that team starts to build the pamphlet. They start to work on all the WAC revisions for the all of the fisheries statewide so that we are complying with the state laws, as well as new for this year with our new mobile app rollout, modifying all of the regulations so that that mobile app is up to date and a usable tool for all of our anglers that are out there. With that, my summation of North of Falcon is just simply that.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you very much.
Oh, that's good, because I wasn't sure on the handout whether it was thumbs up or thumbs down.
Oh, it's...
That's the way it went. Okay.
Come on, chair.
Sideways, too. You know? Okay, well, thank you. We are running behind schedule, so